Hello and welcome to the Odds Checker Betting Show. This is your preview of Anthony Joshua against Francis Ngannou, sponsored by Parimatch. I'm your host, George Ellick, and I'm delighted to be joined by two guests here. Sports broadcaster and Odds Checker tipster Dom McGuinness joins me. Dom, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, George.
Good stuff. And former world champion boxer Anthony Crawley here as well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It's good to be here.
Great. Well, Anthony, let's start with you and have a look at the fight this coming weekend. Anthony Joshua, what kind of a state do you think he comes into the fight in?
I think so much of it, I think a lot happened in the heavyweight division from that time when Francis Ngannou went from what his boxing skill was going to be like, an unknown boxer, to almost upsetting the lineal heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury. So I think the one thing there is now there'll be much more respect on his name. And I think last time out with Anthony Joshua, we saw one of his best performances in recent times. It looked like the old AJ, as a lot of people are saying, the partnership he struck up with Ben Davison, Lee Wiley and the team down there seems to be working really, really well. So I think this is the perfect kind of fight for Anthony Joshua, where, listen, he's expected to win. He's a relatively big favourite, isn't he? But it's a fight where he's going into the fight with his tail up, as you would say, and he could make a real statement here, especially after how much Tyson Fury struggled with Francis Ngannou. But again, there is also huge pressure on AJ because it is wrestler. It's an MMA fighter who you're in there with. So if it was to go wrong, the talk of him being involved in huge heavyweight title fights, it disappears a little bit, doesn't it? So yeah, it's real fascinating fight.
Yeah, looks it. And Dom, looking at the odds of Parimatch, he's 4-1 favourite, AJ. So he's a massive favourite, odds on favourite to do it. Do you think that accurately reflects his chances of coming out of this on top?
Yeah, it should be an absolute favourite. I think that everybody's looked at the Ngannou-Tyson Fury fight and thought, wow, you know, he held his shape well. He surprised everyone with his boxing ability. Mm. He put Fury down in the third round with a left hook. Did he actually win the fight? It was contentious at the time. Many people thought that Ngannou had actually nicked it. So that's taken a bit of pressure off Josh anyway, because I think people have looked at this enormous man as well, with arguably the hardest punch that's ever existed, they're saying that.
No.
But I think the pressure is off, but he should be an overwhelming favourite. People have to remember of who Anthony Joshua has been in with, the fact that he's had these world title belts, the fact that, yes, all right, he was outdone by Usyk, who is a phenomenon. He's got to go in there. He's got to make a statement, which he said he's going to do. I think he will do. And it's going to be a combination of boxing and the spite that people have said has been missing, but he did return to in the Walling fight. And he's been busy. He had three fights in 2023.
And he's always been at his best when he's active.
When a heavyweight is as busy as that, it's a great sign.
He's always saying he just wants to be active. That's when you see the best of Anthony Joshua. And I think that played a part in his performance last time out.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry.
No, there you go.
Just also as well, I think that because working with Ben Davison, it was interesting because myself and Anthony, we were with Eddie Hearn the other day, and he was talking about preparations, and it was really interesting that the depth of preparation that they've gone into for this fight, and the way they're analysing Ngannou and the way that they expect Josh to break him down. And again, listening to that and everything else, and knowing that, you know, let's not forget he's got a gold medal in his locker as well. You know, boxing-wise, a little bit more spite that Ben Davison seems to have brought out. Yeah. That's why he's right to be the favourite.
And in terms of, it's interesting you say about the analysis there, because AJ would have learned a lot about Ngannou seeing him fight against Fury. We've seen Ngannou say this week that last week he feels if he hits anyone in world boxing, they will get knocked out. What do you think AJ would have taken from watching that, and how do you think he's going to approach the fight?
Well, I think he would have straight away, you think, well, I've got to respect Francis Ngannou, because I was one of many people who thought their opinion carried some weight. He was telling people who thought Ngannou had a chance to...
I backed Ngannou to do really well all the way through that.
I
said he'd go the distance.
I was telling the 10-year-old someone, he was saying how powerful Francis Ngannou is, to stop being silly. He's got no chance of beating Tyson Fury. He's never had a professional
fight. Did you watch the fight with your son?
He did, and he realised his dad was clueless, as did a lot of other people. But that was a huge shock. And I remember tweeting at the time, if Ngannou was to beat Tyson Fury... Yeah. It would have gone down, in my opinion, as one of the biggest upsets in sporting history. Mm-hmm. And you have some crazy people going, yeah, but he was only such a thing to one. Leicester winning the league was, no, you're not getting it. He's never had a professional fight. Yeah. Yes, he was an MMA fighter, but he's never had a boxing fight like that. So it was, It was mental, but I think with that now, and like you say, they'll go into the analysts, which they go into serious depth with the team there at the Ben Davison Performance Centre. They're looking for little patterns in what Francis Ngannou does, and they'll be looking on, or they are looking on, AJ to exploit those. And I just believe, I always say this, Anthony Joshua, despite the amount of fights he's been in, when he won that Olympic gold medal, it was unbelievable the amount of how inexperienced he was. Yeah. But in this fight here with Francis Ngannou, he's so much more experienced than that. And that's rare when AJ gets in a boxing ring, because people, despite being a gold medalist, despite being a few-time world champion, he's still inexperienced, as mad as that sounds. But I just think he'll go into this, or he has to go into this and, you know, let Francis Ngannou know, basically, I'm the boxer here. Yeah.
How does he go about doing that?
How does he go about doing that? As I believe, he starts positive. I think he'll look to set traps. And I wouldn't be surprised if he catches Ngannou early. And he goes, oh, listen, Ngannou looks like he's built to take a fantastic shot. But if Anthony Joshua hits anyone on the chin, as he says himself, because he's capable of it, because we've seen him drop Tyson Fury, there's a great chance they can go over. So with Tyson Fury, okay, huge heavyweight and boxing IQ, but he's not known for that explosive power that Anthony Joshua is. And I think he's going to look to start relatively fast and put Francis Ngannou in his place pretty quick.
Tom, is there an argument, though, that over AJ's career, we've seen him against big punches when he's hit, sometimes struggle, and given, you know, the power and the capability of Ngannou, that this could be an awkward matchup for him if he doesn't start fast?
We've seen it could be awkward if he in any way underestimates Francis Ngannou, but he won't. He's not going to do that now. After what happened last time, and it was an awful Tyson Fury, let's get that right as well. Fury looked ill-prepared. And I think Fury probably, whether it was subconscious or not, because he'd been living in the gym, but whether he just didn't believe he was going to be in that kind of a fight.
I think when you see him saying before, I think Tyson Fury says, and we know he says a few crazy things, I could have 50 pints on Saturday and I could still beat this man.
Yeah.
But I probably believed that as well. Like at the time, I did believe it. And like Dom said, it was like, listen, Tyson Fury's never known for being body beautiful, but for that fight, he come in awful shape, as bad as you've seen him. And I think the whole fight week was very strange in a sense where having this, the night before a pre-fight dinner, everyone's there together. It just seemed very odd to me. And I can't see that being the same this week with Anthony Joshua, Francis Ngannou, because the threat is very real.
Also as well on that, is there a possibility that Ngannou is a little overconfident after putting Fury down and probably thinking and listening to everyone say how great he looked and you know the way his form looked good.
Is it the same Francis Ngannou?
Does he go in there and like actually think, you know what? Who knows?
But
we'll find out. But I don't expect any slip-ups from Josh. And just remember as well, if Josh needs reminding, he should be fighting Deontay Wilder. But Wilder didn't kind of look at the script. Joe Parker didn't really read the script on that one. So, Josh has just got to stay focused. He knows what the prize is as well. You know, obviously, very soon, all the talk will be of Fury, Usyk and all the rest of it. And he knows what's happening. If he gets through this, which he should do comfortably, then he's got the even bigger prize waiting for him. So I don't expect a slip up.
Anthony, given, you know, from your boxing career, for Anthony Joshua to come through what was a difficult time with the Usyk fights and just rattle off three wins in a row without really too much trouble, how big is that going to be for his confidence?
Massive. Because I believe Anthony Joshua is a bit of a confidence fighter. I really do. And that's what I say. I remember speaking to him last year. He was talking about the importance of him staying active. I think sort of being in the gym all the time. He's moved around a little bit as well. So obviously, Rob McCracken done an unbelievable job with him. But I think since then, obviously, there's Derek James, there's Robert Garcia. Yep. There's now Ben Davison and the team there. So he's picking up little bits from each. So maybe he's feeling like, you know, that's adding to me as a fighter. But I think the activity is key for him. I do. And I think anyone like, I was saying it before, he's still inexperienced despite everything he's achieved, which is remarkable. He's still inexperienced for me, so I think the activity is key.
And do we see anything, Dom, in AJ's performances over the last year or so? Any changes in the way that he's setting up? Any improvements we saw post-Usyk?
Well, again, he can't win in many ways, AJ, because obviously he goes in against Franklin and everyone's like, oh, he's gun-shy still and blah, blah, blah. Then Hellenius was a late replacement. Yeah. Of mm-hmm. course, there was all the business with Dillian
White. And he took quite a bit of stick that night because saying how cautious he was with Alanis. But I think what the highlight knockout reel, that got him out of trouble a little bit, didn't he? Before that, everyone was saying he's lost his spite and so on and so on.
But then he set about Wally and did a good
and
number on
him. About.
But, you know, and again, he's got this weird fight, basically, to get over the line with. And then we can kind of find out, again, if he does get that pinnacle fight, is AJ, you know, what he always wanted to be, what he always said he was going to be and what he's been working hard. And, you know, people have been looking at him thinking, with all the money he's got, does he need this? Does he need that? Has he still got the hunger? I think he has. I think he's proved that. And I think the way he's working and, you know, the way he's worked for this fight, for what we understand, that he's not taking anything lightly and he still has all that ambition. So I do think he'll make a statement.
Might be a bit of a spoiler alert as to what you guys are going to say your tip's going to be, but we've heard Anthony say he thinks he'll come out fast. Do you think we might see AJ, as you mentioned, he's more pragmatic in the fight before last one, maybe come into it a bit slowly, being a bit cautious, making sure he's not going to get hit early?
I think he's going to be mindful of the power. He's seen that left hook, and then, you know, he's got a big right hand as well in Garnu. You know, he blasts out people in MMA, but it's a very different game altogether.
Different
and I think,
sport,
yeah,
different
I think
he's been stance,
he's been in with big,
small
big punches. Yeah, but I think there's an argument, can an MMA fighter take a punch like a boxer can, in terms of obviously there's so much more to an MMA fight than the stand-up kind of side to it. But, I do think he'll be explosive, but I don't think he's going to be silly. I think he's going to go out and have a look at him, and I think they'll have a really good plan, a great game plan, and I think there'll be a little bit of boxing, but eventually you will see that spike come out of Josh, and I think he will finish early.
We know the boxer's career has been made or broken on individual nights. Yeah. If there is an upset here, what does it mean for AJ going forward, and what will it do to Francis Ngannou?
If you catch traffic, let's be honest, it'd be an awful, awful night result. And listen, he's come back before from defeats to, you know, Andy Ruiz, which at the time was a big shock. I was in the Russo, but they was well respected heavyweights. And I know I'm going to contradict myself here, because I say Ngannou last time out, he shocked so many people, so there's so much more respect on his name, but it'd still be a huge upset, and it'd take some coming back from. It really would. Anthony Joshua's done an awful lot for British boxing, from grassroots right through, like, to constantly selling out stadiums, giving fighters on the undercard.
He was on your
chances.
Undercard once, wasn't he?
And my undercard, his undercard, same thing. But he'd be selling out stadiums.
You shared the ring, you shared the same night, anyway.
Yeah, and but that's it. I think that's what he should be remembered for. But listen, there's no denying if it was to go wrong for AJ Saturday night against Francis Ngannou, that would be a big chapter or a big point in his career, unfortunately.
I mean, you say a big point. Could it be the end of his career as we know it?
Would he want to go out like that, though?
Would he want to go out like that?
But who does he get next?
Yeah.
He'd have to rematch him.
I don't believe he'd want to go out like that, but it would be very tough. There's no denying that. It'd be very, very tough. And for some reason, it's crazy. You see the online stuff. You can only imagine it'd be a gif. It'd be some kind of thing in the space of minutes, wouldn't it? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He'd have an awful lot to put up with, which it would be wrong. That's just the way social media and the sporting world works, unfortunately. But no, it couldn't get much worse, and that's just being honest.
There'll be AJ fans watching this thinking, why are you talking about AJ going out here, these massive favourite to win a fight? And we should say now, like, you know, if AJ comes here and beats him well and knocks him out, you know, then what are we looking for in the next 18 months, 2 years for AJ?
Well, I do think he makes a statement and knocks him out.
Yeah.
And I think that he will get, all being well with the big, big fight, I think he'll get involved with the winner of that. And I think that's the plan. I think that's what he wants. And I think that's is in line to do that. I mean, again, there'll be a lot of work.
And do you think that's his motivation now, is to get to that fight?
Yeah, I mean, he wants the belts. Mm. He wants to go out on a high. He still feels like he's, you know, there is plenty of ambition, and you know, he gets over the line with this one, and then he's back where he wants to be in the big, big fights. And I think that's what he's going to do.
I think the same as Dom. I think as for what would be next is, I think he'll be hoping Tyson Fury comes through that fight for Usyk, because there's much more of a demand for an AJ Tyson Fury than a third fight with AJ and Alexander Usyk. Mm. However, there is a great chance we'd see that, and he'd put himself in the position for that. Tyson Fury and Joshua is just absolutely huge, and I think all the shows that are going on in Saudi at the minute, I think that there's now a better chance of that happening than there ever has been. So I think that's the motivation there. I think, and listen, if Usyk wins, might get Usyk next, but if not, there'll still be other big fights out there. There's Hergovic, there's so many big fights. Even in the UK, there's Dubois talked about, and I think now when you see both Frank and Eddie working together, you now believe those fights are a lot more possible, you know, and a lot bigger possibility of happening.
I think it's true that Usyk could ruin, I think, Joshua's script,
because
I think that is the idea in Josh's head, that Fury comes through, and then that would just be so big, wouldn't it? The build-up of those two.
Hard to imagine actually happening after all these years.
And then Usyk's got other plans, obviously, anyway, and he's already had the two fights with Josh, so that would kind of ruin the idea that I think Josh is dreaming for would be him and Fury. And that'd be lively.
Well, we'll touch on Fury Usyk a bit later, but it's now time to tell you about our exclusive sign-up offer with our sponsors, Parimatch, who are offering 40-1 for AJ to win the fight. That is an odds checker exclusive to all of you viewers, and this is for new customers only. And you must opt in. The max bet is £1. T's and C's do apply, as you can find, and the winnings will also be paid in free bets. So make sure you check out that new customer offer, £1 max, 40-1 on an AJ win. Doesn't sound too bad. Does it?
Very good.
So let's get your tips then, guys. Starting with Dom, how do you see this one going?
AJ will stop him, and I think because he just might have a look at him, and because of everything that happened in the Fury fight and the work they've done, they've probably just a tiny bit of caution, but we will see him pull the trigger, and I think he'll get him out of there second half of the fight. If we're going to pick a round, maybe round seven, but second half of the fight, I fancy AJ.
We've got over and under 6.5 rounds with Parry matches, 5-6 each side, so overs would be the way to go there. And round seven, in terms of round betting, is a 9-1 shot there at Parry match. Anthony, are you in agreement?
I'm going to go a little bit earlier. I think AJ 1-6. I think he'll start a little bit faster, and I think by the halfway point, the fight will be over. Again, if we had to pick a round, I'd go 5, but I think 1-6. Again, though, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened earlier. I really wouldn't be surprised if it happened in the opening few rounds. But yeah, 1-6, I'm confident with that.
Yeah, under 6.5 there, also 5-6, of course. And for anyone watching this who maybe wants to get against AJ, would you have a view, like, if Ngannou is to win this fight, how is he going to have to get punched in the face
by Francis Ngannou?
I think if Ngannou is going to win it, you know, people doubt AJ's stamina at time and stuff like that. And Ngannou held his shape very well against Fiora. You would fancy
it. He'd have to try and Andy Ruiz him and rough him up.
But that's what I mean. So Dom thinks if Ngannou was to do it, it'd be early. I think if Ngannou was to do it, it might be a bit later on when he looks to have walked AJ back a little bit. But I mean, I don't expect that. But if that's what someone's saying, what's your bet on Ngannou? That's what it'd be later on in the fight.
I like how you guys disagree on when AJ would win the fight and disagree on when Ngannou would win the fight.
I don't fancy Ngannou at all.
No, but I
think that obviously anyone can get caught. Mm. And we've seen Josh get caught before. Yeah. And I mentioned Ruiz just because he kind of... I think it's a different AJ now, though.
Yeah.
I think he's learned a lesson. It was a very painful one for him. But I don't expect that to happen. But it can happen. Mm. And I think if he did get caught, like if Fury got caught, that would be where you'd then worry about him. So I think, like Fury got caught in the third round, if that was to happen, it would be about then that maybe Francis would catch him. But I don't think it'll happen.
In that case, let's move on and look at the heavyweight division with a wide lens, I guess.
Yeah.
The controversy, Dom, at the moment around the Usyk-Fury fight, before we even get to the boxing, where do you think we are right now? What do you think it means to the rest of the division?
Well, it's number one and number two, or number two and number one, however you work that one out. But it's May the 18th and it's happening as far as we're all aware. I mean, obviously we know about the cut and the delay and everything else, which was a shame, and there's all sorts of theories and whatever. But both men, we understand, are working to May the 18th. And I think Ant alluded to it before about the Saudi business. Mm. They're making things happen now.
Yep.
And all the nonsense of the past and you know, all the kind of the politics that came into it that prevented the big fights, I don't think that's going to be the case now. So if both men have signed the contracts and they both genuinely want this fight, it's going to happen. And obviously the riches are ridiculous.
Yep.
And that's where we are. So that's what they're all trying to get on that Saudi gravy train, the rest of the heavyweights, and they're trying to get... Yep. Everyone wants to fight the number one, whoever comes out of that. But there's some brilliant matchups in the meantime anyway.
Some great fights in that top five, top ten. There are some unbelievable fights in the division to be made.
Absolutely. I mean, and do you think, you know, there might be some wider issues around, you know, Saudi involvement in sport and in boxing, but do you think that's going to be, in the short and long term, a means by which we get to see the fights we want to see?
I do, yeah. Being honest, I do. You know, people have their opinion on that side of things, but I think in sport in general, we've seen so much more going there, and as long as the figures over there want to keep putting in the money, I believe they'll keep going there, and that's just being honest. I think boxing is very much a business. It's a business where, you know, sadly the injuries can be very tragic at times, so fighters want to get paid the most money for that, for risking it. And I don't believe the big fights over there are going away anytime soon. Listen, do I think it'd be a mad shame if Tyson Fury and an Anthony Joshua fight didn't happen at a football stadium in the UK? Yeah, I think it'd be horrible, but do I think it's going to happen over here? No, I think it'll be happening in Saudi.
Yeah, that would be a massive shame. And looking at more at the boxing, I guess, with the Usyk Fury fight, Dom, where do you see them both now? Who would you? I mean, it's early days, and we'll have to see what kind of shape Tyson's in come May. Yeah. But how do you envisage the fight going at this stage?
It's fascinating on so many different levels, anyway, because a silly man goes against Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
Because forget the Ngannou thing, because again, I just don't think that was him at all.
Yeah.
But you just can't write that man off. And obviously the size of him and the skill set that he has, and, you know, when he is motivated and he is in the gym and forget what he looks like. He's never going to look like Josh, who's fantastic to look at, isn't he? He's never going to look like, but he can fight all day long when he's on it. But Usyk is a genius, an absolute genius. And you know, but I think the only reason why you'd sway for Fury is the size. If he can lean on him and do some of the old tricks that Fury would definitely try and bring into play. But Usyk is Usyk's the only man that mentally cannot be in any way touched by Tyson Fury. Mentally, he's on a different level completely. So Fury can't play any games with him. Mm. He's never going to get near him mentally. And he's absolutely brilliant. But I think at this stage, I don't know. It's incredibly
such a tough one. Do you know what? If you would have asked me this before the Ngannou fight, I've always said a fit and focused Tyson Fury for me is the best heavyweight on the planet. And I think I've said it that long, probably got to stick with it, that it does beat Usyk. However, I've got nowhere near the same confidence after the last outing. I'm really not. Just one thing that worries me is I don't believe Deontay Wilder's the same fighter now after those three fights with Tyson Fury. Is there a chance Tyson Fury's not the same fighter after the three fights with Deontay Wilder? You're talking about one of the biggest punchers in the heavyweight division's history. He was landing shots on Tyson that, well, it very nearly did knock him out, but he put him over a few times, which not many would have got up from. Has that put miles on the clock? So it is, but I'm going to stick with Tyson Fury just being a little bit too big, stylistically. I do believe he'll cause problems Usyk hasn't really dealt with before, although he's dealt with nearly everything. And I go with Tyson, but I think it's what it is. That's probably through saying it for so long, I feel like I've got to stick with it. No Tyson business, all that as well. We're nowhere near the same confidence as what I once had.
You said you think Tyson Fury is the best heavyweight. Can you rank how you view the best heavyweights?
Can I rank? I think
while boxing at the moment.
Yeah, I feel like I think one and two, Tyson Fury, Alexander Usyk. And then the next is just so up for discussion. Listen, after last time out, I feel Deontay Wilder's dropped off a bit. At one point, it was pretty clear he was number three or two in people's opinions. I'm going to go Anthony Joshua. The resurgence of Joseph Parker has been fantastic. But it shows you it wasn't that long ago we got knocked out of Big Joe Joyce. You then got knocked out of Zili Zhang and then, it's crazy. So you've probably got to have Joyce and, who actually beat Zhang Hergovich. But I don't think he did. So I'm going to say Zhang instead. Yeah. But then there's fighters who are unknown of me. There's a fighter who doesn't get nowhere near the same attention in Martin Bacoli. Yeah. I think there's a great chance he could beat some of those fighters. You've got frightening young talents coming up who's not there yet. Your Moses Atuma, we're both massive Moses Atuma fans. But I think, thereabouts, would be the top five. Listen, how Zhang went about, he did destroy Joe Joyce, as much as it hurts me to say it, it was very impressive. So he's got to have a place in that top five.
Rather than asking for your top five, Dom, who would be your kind of one to watch out of the heavyweight spirit at the moment?
Well, I guess you can't put pressure on an 18-year-old kid, but, you know, Moses Itoma is you know, someone to keep an eye on. I mean, he's not going to take too long before he wants to break Tyson's record in terms of becoming a heavyweight champion, so that's not too far down the line. Is he turned 19 yet? So he's getting on. But, I don't know. I mean, again, Daniel Dubois is an interesting
one.
I mean, the way he took out Miller last time, the way he did that job, I think that it's
think
great for him.
I think he's going to be a better fighter for that, Daniel Dubois, because he ticked that box of coming over a little bit of adversity in the fight.
And that's it. And, you know, the Usyk fight, he was getting lots of praise. Obviously, there was the low blow controversy, but he was taken out in the end. But again, he's still very young for a heavyweight, very young. And I think that there's still plenty of life in him, and he could make a big, big impression still. So I'd say that he deserves mention in there still.
And we mentioned a couple of guys on the undercard just a second ago, two really good fights, especially on there. We'll start with Zhang Parker. How do you see this one
great
going?
Fight.
Yeah, good fight.
I think that's a very good fight, I think.
And for those maybe at home who don't know much about these guys, what can you tell them about them?
Yeah, I think Joseph Parker, former world champion, he lost his world title to AJ, didn't he? Boxing that night, I was there. But about me, can about me. But yeah, no, Joseph Parker. But I think since then, last time out, he shocked a lot of people in how he went about beating Deontay Wilder. And he beat Wilder very convincing. People say it wasn't the same ferocious Wilder we've seen over the years, but Wilder went in there a heavy favourite. And Joseph Parker beat him and beat him well. He took everything he had and pushed Wilder back. I think Zhang is, for me, you could have a strong argument he should have been beaten. He lost in the final eliminator to Hrgović, didn't he? Where a lot of people, me included, thought Zhang won. After that, he beat Joe Joyce. He took Joe Joyce's unbeaten record.
And then did it
but
again.
For the first time, I think it was down to Joe's eye, but he was having a lot of success. And for the first time, we were seeing the juggernaut buzzed, hurt for the first time, which he seemed invincible. And then last time out, he knocked Joe Joyce out, in which was one of the knockouts of the year. So it's such a tough one to call that fight. It really is.
Dom, how do you see it going?
I think a resurgent Parker with Andy Lee working with him, who's done really well with him. Again, I think there'll be a really good game plan in play like there was with the Wilder fight. They've done the homework really, really well. I think they'll do that again. Zhang is the older man. He's been around a long time. Now, he does move well for a giant. He's got great skills as well. But I just think Parker will be too fresh. He's 30 years of age, Joe Parker. He's been around forever.
But
I think he'll still be too fresh and sharp and move. And I just think he'll outpoint him. I just think he'll go the distance. He'll box sensibly and probably frustrate Zhang a bit. And I see it going Parker on points, which would probably be a little bit of a shock.
Yeah, do you know what? This time I'm going to agree with Dom. Listen, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked because I think the lead hand, the southpaw lead hand of Zhang is fantastic in the way I wouldn't be surprised if Parker touches down. Wouldn't be surprised if Parker touches down on the way, or Zhang's got the power to knock him out as well, as we've seen with Joyce. But I'm going to go for Parker as well. I think it's going to be an entertaining fight. I think Parker on a close points decision.
Yeah, Parker on points is 130 with parry match. Both of the guys agreeing on that, so just a bit bigger than 3-1. Ray Vargas against Nick Ball, the next one.
Again, a brilliant
fight. What a fight.
Yeah, fantastic.
Real good. That's a real... The boxing fight, obviously, the AJ Nagano fight is the big showbiz fight, the one everyone's going to be talking about, but that is a fantastic fight.
Yeah. And Nick Ball is, you know, he's not got the highest profile, but what a little ball of...
aggression, power.
He's brilliant to watch. He's great. I mean, in that featherweight division, there's some fantastic fighters, but he's very exciting. He did really well against Isaac Dogbe last time out as well. But he's in against a very seasoned Mexican in Ray Vargas, who's older. I mean, Nick's 26, Vargas 33. So Vargas has been around, but he's going to want to right the wrong of his last fight, which is at super feather when he's beaten by old Shecky Foster. And he's going to want to prove he's still there. He'll have all that Mexican pride. And I don't know, it's a massive test for Nick Ball at this stage of his career. 19-0 he is at the moment, and he's barely put a foot wrong. He's shown the explosive, you know, with 11 knockouts as well, a lot of them latterly, he's really shown what he's all about. But I don't know whether Vargas is too much at this stage. We'll see.
It's I think, like Dom there, I think Dom alluded to, is the timing, is it just a little bit too early? I think the opposite. I feel that Nick Ball last time out, he impressed me massively against LB. Really did. I thought a real tough. A lot of people in boxing thought it was going to go the other way, and he dominated Isaac Dogbe. And I think with Nick Ball, as I know for one, he'd be one of the fittest fighters in the UK. He does a lot of CrossFit, but he does it at an elite level. It's a huge part of his training. I remember us talking to him about it. But listen, having bodies, being unbelievable at CrossFit doesn't win world titles. But I just believe the timing's right. I think last time I was Super Feather to Oshaki Foster, he loses on points. No shame in that. Fantastic fighter. But now he's got to come back down in weight. Very tall. So he's big for the weight. At this point in his career, is it the perfect time to get him? And I might be wrong. He might just be far two seasons for Nick Ball. But I just believe he'll set a pace. I think it'll be entertaining. And I think Liverpool's going to have a new world champion, and Nick Ball does it on points.
Ball on points is 8-5 with Parimatch. And is it Vargas on points for you?
I hope I'm wrong. Really do think whatever happens, even if it doesn't go his way, Nick Ball, I think he's got a massive future anyway, and you know, won't do him any harm. But it's just a learning fight. But I just wonder, so many Central American, South American fighters have come over here in the last few years. Well, I know it's not over here, but do you know what I mean?
We have seen back, but I think it was 7 years. That's another thing I was looking at when he beat Gavin McDonald. Yeah. It was very impressive that night, but it might be a year either side. I think it was around 7 years.
But that's how long he's been around. So your argument about timing could be exactly right. Yeah. I just wonder whether or not it's a tiny bit early, and I think I might have a look at Vargas on points.
Yeah, 2-1 Vargas on points. Anything else on the undercard that people should look out for?
I think, yes, I do. I tell you a fight I'm looking forward to, making it about myself again, a title I used to
have.
That's
not you, is it?
It's not. The British lightweight title. That's why we got you here, right? The British lightweight title is champion Gavin Gwynn versus Mark Chamberlain. Yeah. That's a fantastic fight. I always say you very rarely see a bad British title fight. And I don't know, have we ever seen a British title fight overseas? Is that a first or not? Or no, it's not.
No.
We saw Fabio Wardley, David Adelaide recently, didn't we?
Yeah.
So, yeah, ignore that. but no, that's a great fight. It's definitely one to look out for.
Yep, I agree with that.
Great stuff. And before we let you guys go, we're going to bring it back to the fight we're here to preview. And, you know, you both agree that you think AJ will come through it and will do it well. Starting with you, Dom, do you think we'll see AJ be world champ again?
Yes, because whatever happens, you know, the crazy game that we're in, and in that fragmentation and belts and appearing here and whatever, anything can happen in terms of him getting his hands on a belt again, regardless of the fight we've been talking about.
I think there's a great chance after this we could see AJ versus Ergovic, and I fancy AJ to beat Ergovic, so that answers the question. Yeah, I think he'll be a world champion again.
Yeah, I agree.
Will he be undisputed? Yeah. That's a big ask. That's a big ask for sure. Usyk, Fiora, that's a tough one. But I do believe we'll see AJ being a world champion again.
Let's hope the three of us are here previewing AJ Fury at some point in the future. That'll be good. Great stuff, guys. Thank you very much to both of you for sharing your tips, thoughts and insight ahead of the fight. And thank you for tuning into our AJ Ngannou preview as well. And thanks to our sponsors, Parimatch, a reminder of their offer, 40-1 for AJ to win the fight. Max bet £1. New customers only. T's and C's do apply, and winnings are paid in free bets. Thank you very much for taking the time to watch this. Loads of stuff in there. Enjoy the undercard. Enjoy the main fight as well. And please do ensure that you're gambling responsibly.